right, here we go. Incendiary Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It is the 16th day of June 2019. Welcome to the broadcast, everyone. Happy Father's Day. Played the Gloria song here. This thing went crazy here, I guess, in St. Louis and other places with the St. Louis Blues, of course, winning the Stanley Cup. And this whole, everybody's wearing these Gloria t-shirts. Just their looniest stuff, and how this all started was some bar in Philadelphia, South Philly, called Jack's, where some of the blues guys were hanging out, and this whole Gloria 1982 song by Laura Branigan gets rehashed and re-brought up out of the depths and becomes the blues like anthem song for the playoffs and Stanley Cup finals, and we all know what happened. You know, I didn't go down there because I'm getting too old for that sort of stuff, and I just, like I said last week, the bread and circuses. St. Louis is a sports cult, and so there are like 500,000 people down there for the big parade, and very interesting, the racial, I can only see articles coming about white privilege of hockey and all this stuff. Bunch of young white guys, a lot of them have families and wives and so forth, and they all had a big parade downtown, and bunch of drunkenness, and you know, all of the blues, big heavyweights that still circulate around St. Louis, Brett Hull and Bernie Federko and all these, you know, people throughout, you know, blues hockey's a big deal, just like in Chicago, the Blackhawks are a big deal, just like in Montreal, the Canadiens are a big deal, and so forth and so on. So the Blues get their first Stanley Cup, and I watched quite a bit of the footage of the, you know, all the local networks had coverage of the parade and the big celebration down at the Gateway Arch, you know, the big landmark, and these characters up there all drunk, dropping F-bombs on the air. It was quite, I don't want to say entertaining, because I winced a few times. It's strange the way, I saw, you know, out of all those people, 99.9% plus were, it was a white celebration of, you know, whiteness. And so I'm sure all the left-wing race bayer types, they're going to have a field day here in St. Louis. There was a handful of black people I saw, but, you know, hockey is that last bastion of white sports identity, I guess. Baseball still pretty big, but you know, if you turned the tables and let's say it was an NBA victory, for if we had a team here, the big celebration and everything would have been pretty much biracial. But this was 99.9% plus white. And this is how, you know, this is how I prove this stuff, is basically that due to the Talmud vision and the Markstream media and the control of the music industry, especially the hip hop industry, where they're almost all forced to be on the Marxist plantation, the Marxist Democratic Party plantation, basically a large swath of black people in the United States, they're not going to celebrate a bunch of white guys winning the hockey trophy, you know, the big deal, the big cheese, the Stanley Cup, oldest sports trophy, basically, you know, big of its kind out there. And it just shows how white people are played to be the big racist. But if you look up there at the Toronto, the Raptors just won the big NBA deal. all kinds of white people celebrating and so forth and so on. But the blues here in St. Louis are very, a lot of black people in the area, a handful of them show up to celebrate the hockey win for the city. And so this shows you that the weaponization of basically the black consciousness against anything white. But at the same time, they've also got these folks programmed to be the most sensitive for anything that they would construe as racism, right up there with organized Jewry. See, organized Jewry basically has created this Frankenstein pet class out of black Americans. And I've talked about this ad nauseum, the NAACP, Rabbi Stephen Wise, the whole thing. National African American Communist Party is what I say it stands for. But it's fascinating how this double standard is right there in your face when you watch this, and most people don't get it. And the thing is, another thing, 500,000 people down there getting drunk. I haven't read about any violence, no incidents, no any kind of assaults, no robberies, no sexual assaults, anything. But let the tables be turned, what would happen? And there's a handful of white girls or whatever, guys, whatever, down there among 99.9% black Americans. Would that be a safe place that you'd want to be, or anybody? It's just something painful to look at and to put out there. And a lot of people think that I would be a hater, or I am a hater, for even mentioning such a thing. But this is the state of affairs in our country. Father's Day, this war on Father's Day. You flip around on the various channels and platforms, and this barrage of anti-Father's Day, anti-father crap, and all the usual, Politico, Huffington Post, Raw Story, blah, 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 all the Mark Stream crap that's funded by these gazillionaires. But this war on Father's Day, how it's toxic masculinity, and it cocktails in with the drag queen story time stuff and the pushing of these transgender athletes into women's sports. The Olympics even going to tolerate this, possibly, even though there's plenty of women that are nowhere near right wing, Martina Navratilova and all these British former female Olympians. And they're finally American, basically lesbian feminists that are now finally having to say protect their own territory as a gender for sports. Everybody's talking about clown world. This is a synthetic and artificial clown world that is being foisted on us to drive us crazy, to make some of the ones among us who might not have all of their faculties together to lash out and do criminal things to feed into the gun control agenda and so forth and so on. To make others just lay down and give up. And so those of us out here fighting this culture war and this war for reality, it's a painful place to be, but this is why they want us to feel this pain, that we have no control over our society, that the whole thing is artificially orchestrated to the nth degree. Thus the crackdown on the various social media platforms, YouTube especially, but Twitter and Facebook. And so, I don't play with Facebook. I never have. I had a Twitter account that's still out there, but I no activity since they suspended me for tweeting things at Oprah and the ADL and the Jesuits simultaneously. That one got me suspended. And you know, YouTube. I'm digging around on YouTube, and I'm just amazed right now at how much has already been scrubbed from YouTube. So, you know, we've got DTube, we've got Steemit, we've got BitChute, you've got Brighteon, you've got these other platforms trying to make some headway. And unfortunately, YouTube is so huge and it's such a commons that this is one of the ones that really, I think, almost has to be wrested out of Google's hands and broken away. And something has to happen with YouTube because it's a video platform. And it's just been so powerful on the side of truth to where they had to tolerate, you know, basically people just putting out actual footage of people and the hypocrisy over the years and so forth, that now, you know, there's people now that want to basically warning, you better start archiving, folks. You better start archiving, especially the stuff where you catch your politicians of 20 years ago and the garbage that came out of their mouth, and then the complete radical 180 that they're talking about now. And so, I mean, this Democratic Party psyop right now that they have going on of putting the most repugnant individuals in our face, you know, in order to make us run the other direction, anybody with any semblance of normalcy. Now, the ones that are running towards this lunacy, these are the ones that have fallen complete victim to the, let's just say, this heavy, heavy mind control, you know, multifaceted mind control systems, the electronic, the spiritual, and so forth and so on. I mean, this thing is, it takes us, you know, something, you've got something special in you if you can resist and see this stuff, because a lot of our fellow creatures on our plane of existence right now are highly susceptible and have fallen complete victim, and they're gone. And so it's almost like this zombie scenario where the zombies, it's not a necessarily a physical pathogen, but it's almost a physical, if you look at the EMF type angle and the smart dust angle and the vaccines and the food and the water spiking and everything else, it's kind of a pathogen, but it's also it's on the techno spiritual level as well. So it's demonic, cocktailed with all of the little things that help these people along going into full-blown lunacy. Somebody called in, and I'm going to take the call real quick just to see what they got on their mind, and then I'll move on. We got Samuel in California. Go ahead and come on up. What you got?
Hey.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Wow, I love your show. It's usually too late for me to call in, so I usually listen to it after the fact.
Uh-huh.
But the guy before you... Blacklisted Radio. I don't know if you know who he is.
Yeah, Doug Owen. I don't know Doug personally, but I'm usually preparing for the show my own, so I don't have time. I can't. You know, me. I'm kind of a weird one. I can't listen. Go ahead.
Okay, he told me he's 41. How does that put him in the Gulf War scenario compared to you? He's 41. He says today. How does that put him in the Gulf scenario compared to your age? I know you know a lot about.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't quite old enough to have served, but at the same time, he was probably old enough to be cognizant of. Well, let's see. I was in from 89 to 93. Okay, and I'm approaching 50, so I don't know. If he's 41, he's. He would be a very, very young person that almost had to lie. I don't want to say it. That's another host on the.
Well, network. he said he took the anthrax shots to get in there, right?
Uh huh.
And the reason I called him is because he had some question about whether shots are good for you or not. And I tried to steer him away from that, and he neutered me.
Oh. Well, here's the thing, and you hear some of the hosts on other broadcasts talking about, and I'm talking about other networks, talking about clean vaccines, which are more secret for the elites, and then the junk vaccines that they give all the masses to poison us, dumb us down, open us up to diseases, and so forth. So whether there is clean vaccine technology out there to where it's actually beneficial to a human, that's debatable. I'm not the, you know, expert on the subject. I think it's probably possible that, and for these uber rich people like the billionaire class, that they could probably concoct something that would be beneficial to inoculate somebody against something. But as far as what's given to us, the useless eater class, I think everything's basically dangerous, and especially what they've done to military with the anthrax vaccines and the other things. I think that was all just bioweapons lab level testing on the unsuspecting patriotic kids that sign up. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying.
I agree. I listen to you a lot. You know, my understanding of the anthrax vaccine is they realized it would take probably 6 injections over 6 months to maybe be palatable for the human body, and they did it all in one dose because they wanted to jack them all in there.
Yeah, hold the line. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
All right, we are back. We're talking to Samuel in California. And so you were wanting to finish up about the vaccines. We got cut off by the break. Go ahead.
Well, you know, this guy said he's 41 now, and he got the full anthrax shot before that, I'm assuming.
And well, you know, he might have joined after the Gulf War was over, but it was still Gulf War era or something like that. You know, I did some of the math. Yeah, he had to have joined after the original first Gulf War if he's only 41. So
then he would have been in the second.
Yeah, that's probably true. Or, you know, the events afterwards. Yeah, I don't know. But
right.
The wait, one in 91 wait, is impossible, but go ahead.
I mean, wait. When he said he got the shot, the guy, he's got nodules in their ass and their hips and stuff. Yeah. It would roll around on the ground to try to get them out.
Well, no, you know, there was a shot that I got the second time I was going overseas on a Westpac, and it was called an immunoglobulin shot, okay? And that's a big immune shot, and we had to sit there in formation, Indian style, and roll around to, because this thing would ball up in your ass cheek. It's called immunoglobulin. You can look it up. And this son, they would shoot that in your rear end, and that sucker would ball up, and you'd have to roll around on your ass cheek to kind of grind out that ball and loosen it all up. So, you know, who knows? But that's the immunoglobulin is what I got, yeah.
Oh, God. You think there's something wrong with that? You know, and now they're my understanding about, you know, here's a guy who's got a full immune system, and he's dealing with these shots. He still thinks they're okay for people. But now what our government is doing is they're taking day-old children and giving them a shot. And from what I've heard from registered nurses, they have to pull out the crash cart.
Yeah, Well, I've been hearing that for years, that the sequence of shots for basically newborns is so heavy of a cocktail that basically a lot of them code when they take these shots, and then they got to be ready to revive them and defibrillate them.
So what about getting a vaccine sounds sensible to you?
Nothing. I won't get one. Yeah, I won't get one.
Mumps or the early shit, you know? I mean, what's sensible about that? I mean,
Nothing, but I got to move on. But basically, I would not, you know what, even if I was threatened with A, B, C, or D, I'm not taking any inoculations into my body and presently, because I know the nefarious characters in these big pharma companies and then in these elements within our government that are using these things as vectors to introduce things into all of our bodies, exactly. which are dangerous, and so that we'll go ahead and leave it at there. Thanks for calling in, man. I got a lot to cover. Appreciate
Thanks.
It. Anyway, all right, man. So let's see here. Got a few minutes left before the break. We might as well talk about Iran. I called into Tom Lacavera's show earlier when he was talking about Iran. And Ken, get clip 8 ready. We're gonna kind of transition into this thing where a lot of people think that this is a Gulf of Tonkin incident. And I just think it's the beginnings. Now, I'm looking at the consciousness of the American people right now, very zombified and very dead in the head, if you will. Clip 8, Ken, number 8. It's the one, it's a Joel Skousen on Alex Jones. Now, the day before, Alex Jones was really, let's just say, he was taking it and running with it, that he believed that the Iranians did it and so forth and so on. Then he claimed basically he had almost a mutiny on his hands, that his crew were telling him, no, man, you got to be watch out for the false flag and so forth and so on. So it's almost like Jones, and this could all be theater, but it almost seems like Jones is losing his edge with at least even sometimes entertaining the fact that now that Trump's in office, that somehow if something happens to one of our ships or somebody else's ships that's an alleged ally of ours, that it's going to be on the up and up, and the Iranians are always threatening us. But here's the thing. Remember this, whenever we see these news reports that the Iranians are threatening us, where do they come from? One of a few different sources. One of them is Rita Kotz over there with Site Intelligence. Remember them? All the false flags with Site Intelligence, this Mossad operation. And then you've got MEMRI, Middle East Media Research Institute, okay, highly dubious bunch of people. They do all these translations. See, we're dealing with people that give us translations of the mullahs and what they say and so forth and so on, and the president of Iran and so forth and so on. And then you've got CAMRA, and I can't remember, I'll have to look it up during the break, something about Middle East research, blah, blah, blah. CAMRA, MEMRI, and site intelligence. And so you're depending on people with an agenda to do your translations from Farsi or Arabic, and then they give us the alleged news, okay? And so a lot of times we get lied to. And the Bible prophecy guys have been doing this for a long, long time. Hal Lindsey and all the various prophecy platforms. So they're some of the first ones to jump on the site intelligence and MEMRI and all the rest of them to say what the evil Muslims are, you know, claiming they're going to do to us and so forth and so on. So I see we're coming up on the break. We'll get into this on the other side.
Reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We'll be right back. got the news to make you come alive. What I step into the heavy gates, they mark is yours and mine. Coming in, the coming days, they're coming from the street. But before I take my time to lose the new we see. Europe awake for a white message. Europe awake for it's too late. Europe awake now.
Alright, we are back. Continuing radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, and we were talking about memory, camera, and site intelligence. Well, I popped up camera during the break. Committee for Accuracy in Middle East Reporting and Analysis, its mission, founded in 1982, the Committee for Accuracy in Mideast Reporting in America, is a media monitoring, research, and membership organization devoted to promoting accurate and balanced coverage of Israel and the Middle East. CAMRA fosters rigorous reporting while educating news consumers about Middle East issues and the role of the media. Because public opinion ultimately shapes public policy, distorted news coverage that misleads the public can be detrimental to sound policymaking. A nonpartisan organization, CAMRA takes no position with regard to American or Israeli political issues with regard to ultimate solutions to the Arab-Israeli conflict. And I'll just read a little bit here. CAMRA on college campuses. Increasingly, campuses have been the scene of propagandistic assaults on Israel. Distorted literature, extreme speakers, and false inflammatory images are all too common, creating harmful misperceptions of Israel. This hostile environment can be intimidating to students seeking fair and objective information on Middle East issues. So this is basically, the way I look at it is it's like the ADL is for the Federal Reserve. It's created the same year. So the Federal Reserve, a bunch of basically kosher Nostra gangsters take over our money supply, okay, create the Fed, then boom, the ADL pops up, okay? And so now, 1982 was really Oded Yonon era, Greater Israel Project plans. Now there was other ones, Moshe Dayan and others preceding this, David Ben-Gurion. But so then organizations like this pop up in order to basically run cover for the operations that are necessary for an expansionist empire state that a lot of the radical, you know, visionaries, these Talmudic kind of gangster Noahide visionaries got for the Middle East, which is for Israel to expand and become this super state and basically the heavyweight in the region. And look, I'm no fan of a large swath of the Islamic world, especially the Turks. Okay. These guys, they almost took Europe down. They had Spain under their thumb for centuries. Europe almost became Islamic, and I don't want that. But at the same time, I have a balanced view of Talmudic expansionist, Kabbalistic nuts putting everybody under Noahide system as well. So I have a balanced view of this. I don't like expansionist and supremacist and chauvinistic Islam, and I don't like the same thing with the Talmudic Zionist nuts with expansionist supremacist Judaism. Okay, I think both of these factions need to be kept in check because as somebody that's not either one of those, you're going to get the short end of the stick. I would rather live under a Western Christian ethos. Unfortunately, here's our problem. We've become weak. Our tolerance has led to us becoming decadent and weak, and so therefore a vacuum is created. Feminism, the LGBTQZYP agenda, all of this stuff is due to basically the Christian ethos, the hardcore, basically golden rule, commandments-based system being chucked to the side, and then we go into anarchy, and then we collapse into lunacy. And so you know, the problem is we, you know, these forces, and especially on the Judaic side of the house, who Protestants have always, this is one of the real weaknesses to Protestantism, is they've always basically teamed up with Team Jewry to overthrow Catholicism and the system that was in place there. Not that Catholicism was perfect. With a lot of excesses and loony things that went on, and a lot of people have a bad taste in their mouth with theocracy and basically monarchy and so forth and so on. But a lot of the aristocracies around the monarchies and so forth back in the, they kept these forces in check. And you know, we could argue all day about what the right model is for, you know, the government of Western Christian nations. Okay, and I don't really want to get into that. But what I'm saying is we democracy and this whole thing, you know, the republic system that the founders tried to give us got. You know, if you read the writings of Jefferson in 1820, he's like, basically, it gets into that he went off on the federal judiciary and basically called up a bunch of sappers and miners destroying the republic. And he, you know, he said that in 1820. If you got one of them citizen rule books, you can see that he started ripping on the judiciary right away. He thought that created too strong of a judiciary. And if you really get into this bar association conspiracy where there all of the separation of powers and checks and balances have been totally whittled away due to the fact that lawyers have flooded all the branches of government, you know, you can see how this really, really went off the rails quick. But anyway, back to Iran. We'll talk about this. I've got an article that I pulled up. I saw it. And this is in The Week, okay, the separation of powers is a lie. And I'm going to try to get to some of this later, but I'm talking about Iran now. So, Ken, let's listen to clip 8.
So, I don't know his views. We're going to find out his views right now. Is it a false flag? Is it an internal group? Is it Saudi Arabia? Would Israel stage this? With the history of staging false flags at sea, Trump says he thinks it's Iran. What in the world's going on, Joel Skousen, editor-in-chief at worldaffairsbrief.com? What do you think's happening?
Well, thank you, Alex. It's good to be with you again. Iran is the victim of another false flag operation, and we don't know exactly who's done it, but it's obviously connected to the U.S. deep state who does these things. The biggest thing that has turned Donald Trump, and he's, by the way, been very reluctant to buy into this Iran war scenario up until today, when he finally got convinced, because they pulled they have a two or three levels of false flag or false intelligence information they can deliver to the president. They used all three today. And the first one, of course, was the several weeks ago, the mines that hit four tankers in the UAE. And today, of course, yesterday, there were these tankers that were hit. But, you know, they show this boat, as you're showing on screen right now, coming up and supposedly removing a limpet mine from the side of the ship. But this is false on its face because, first of all, limpet mines are placed below the waterline. It doesn't do any good to place them above the waterline. The reason that they have these damage marks above the waterline is that the crew of the Courageous, which is the Japanese tanker, said today and told the owner it was a small missile that hit the boat. It was not a mine. They saw the missile come in and hit the boat above the waterline. And that's why the U.S. isn't showing the other side of the ship or where that particular damage is being shown. So,
you're the weapons expert, but I did notice normally with a shaped charge like a lip, because I looked it up, it would blow a circular hole into the hull. But it looks like a lot of missiles hit and then they got a rod in them. They turn sideways. But if you look, it looks like about a 10-foot slash is in the boat. That wouldn't be a mine, would it?
That's right. Absolutely doesn't have the signature of a mine at all. And the U.S. is playing this because, you know, limpet mines are everywhere and it's very easy. That's what they said it was before. But, you know, the fact that they showed this Iranian ship up alongside, and we've got to remember that Iran was involved in rescue operations. It's one of the closest Navy. It was much closer to the U.S. Navy to these ships. It immediately went to the rescue. And to say that they're removing a mine from the hull is just pure conjecture. And especially attempting to say they're trying to cover up for having put a mine on the boat that they wanted to recover to mask
the. What about the argument that they're deactivating the mine and nobody else would know how to do it? You're just saying there's no proof there is a mine.
No proof that there is a mine. That video is way too grainy to see, any detail of that. But it's just speculation. Now, that's definitely a very, probably a Iranian boat. But who can project the motives there? Let's go to the actual, projection of motives. This is so important to understand, is that for what reason would Iran attack two tankers, and especially one Japanese-owned tanker, when Prime Minister Shinzo Abe was in Iran talking about peace? I mean, why do that? That's as bad as saying that.
Now, whose signature is that? Somebody's in a country. It's the Rothschild cabal, whether it's the U.S., whether it's Britain's MI-53, or whether it's Mossad. They're all tied together through the money changers and the rest of it. But think about it. So Shinzo Abe's in Iran hanging out, talking about some things, and all of a sudden one of his tankers get hit in the Strait of Hormuz. Come on, who does dumb stuff like this? This is our buffoonish intelligence apparatus, the Zio American axis of weasels that pull this kind of stuff. Go ahead and resume the clip.
Bashar al-Assad used chemical weapons on his own people when he knows that that's a trigger event for the U.S. to attack him, when he knows that chemical weapons have no use within a civilian population. They're a major area weapon. You can't control where it goes. You never use it in an urban area.
And Joel Skousen of World Affairs Brief, we're going to get into all this, but yesterday, and I'll just be honest, I mean, I was saying maybe Iran did do it because they have said we might sink ships.
All right, go ahead and stop
a few months ago.
Now, Jones was going off the rails the day before, and I heard some of it, and he was just biting into the propaganda. And then I guess the surface narrative is his crew told him to shut it, and it could be a false flag. So, but, the theatrics here with the large alternative media operations is crazy. But think about this. I mean, Trump Heights just got, big ceremony with the Friedman character, our ambassador with Bibi up there in the Golan. They just built this little new apartment complex, Trump Heights. And so here's my thing. The ADD nature of the American public, okay, they've got to wet our whistles with numerous operations of hitting tankers and so forth before they get the Liberty 2.0. I was talking to Tom Lacovara about that earlier. They're going to hit a Liberty 2.0. Remember the whole thing with Cheney and this Patrick Clausen character, where they were, and he's at the press club or something in D.C. talking about, yeah, well, maybe we need to sink one of our ships, blah blah blah. But with those operations that Cheney wanted to pull in the Persian Gulf, with having our own guys sink one of our ships that we considered, I guess, expendable. And so, look, I'm looking for a few more of these operations where they hit the tankers. Then, for those of you that have the time to monitor activity as far as what ship is where, as far as what ships are on deployment, look for one of our older there was one that they kept talking about for a long time that a lot of people speculated was expendable. Look for one of these to be in the Gulf, and when they want to pull the real trigger event, it's going to be a USS Liberty 2.0, but it's going to be with something big like a carrier. Okay, a carrier that we consider, it's getting old, maybe the nuclear system, we need to decommission it soon anyway, so what a better place to do than to sink it in the Persian Gulf and start a war? You see, we got to look at it like that. So these little tanker things are just getting it the virus planted into the zombified public. Okay, Iran might be hitting these tankers. We've heard this a couple times now on the news. And see, the ADD fights it, then they forget. But it's somewhere deep in their subconscious where they know that ships have been getting hit allegedly by Iran. So they're going to pull a couple more of these, I would suggest. And then here comes – so some people are like, oh, this is a Gulf of Tonkin. It's taking us to war. I don't think so. I don't think America's going to tolerate going to war over some oil tankers. It's going to have to be some of our boys, just like in the Liberty and Lyndon Johnson and the rest of the characters. I want that GD ship going to the bottom and all that crap. So there's going to be I'd be real, you know, freaked out if I was a Navy or a Marine on a deployment, a Westpac, and you're up there in the Gulf and you're on one of them old ships that's getting ready to be decommissioned, because guess what? Your ass might be on that ship and they're going to decommission it to the bottom of the Gulf, of Persian Gulf. So that's my take on the Iran situation. They're whetting our mental appetites for a big one, and then they're going to pop off a Liberty 2.0. Now, where Trump is at in this with, you know, and I said this when Trump got elected and before he got elected, that was one of my points that I was always kind of hesitant with. You know, you got Trump versus Hillary, and it's just like, look, they want to take us at the Iranians. You're going to have a guy that the troops are all going to rah, rah, rah for. And unfortunately, that's usually of late, that's the Republicans. But Obama, remember the whole Syria thing? You had a lot of guys in the military that were not going to go fight for Barack Obama because he's this limp-wristed, little skinny, non-military, Marxist, trying to make him march around in high heels and all of the feminization they tried to pull into our military. And so then the pendulum swings. You get the strong white guy, Trump, back in, and everybody's pounding their chest and so forth and so on. And now if they want to take us to war, they're going to take us to war. And, you know, Trump's close relationship with the Likud party and Sheldon Adelson and Bibi, Jared Kushner, and so forth and so on. You know, hopefully it doesn't happen. I mean, a lot of people thought Trump was going to do some bad things to the Syrians. And what we're doing under the surface, I don't know. And many of you don't know either. And so President Assad is still there, allegedly, and the stuff with Putin. But, you know, I said this earlier when I was talking to Tom Lacavera. I was like, look, and everybody, you know, people are speculating, oh, the Chinese and the Russians, they're not going to go along with us taking Iran down. Well, they were saying the same things about us taking Iraq out. They said the same things about when we took out Libya and Hillary Clinton. We came, we saw he died, and ha, 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 like a little witch. You know, so I... You know, the Venezuela thing hasn't kicked off, but there's another coup going on underway right now, an attempted one that they're talking about. What's going on in Venezuela? I have no idea. I live up here. We're all dependent on reports from other people, and that's just the nature of the beast. So there's a lot of people that, you know, I hear them on talk radio and I hear them on all kinds of different networks that I monitor, and they talk like they know for sure what's going on. And for me, it's just like, look, I've gotten to the point now where I really don't trust any reporting. Even stuff on the ground is look at what CNN's done on the ground with creating theatrical scenes. And who's to say some of these alternative media operations that pop up, who's to say that they're not doing the same thing but on a smaller scale, and feeding all of us that don't trust the Mark Stream media, the Talmud Vision gangs, but we're going to trust some of these other ones that have popped up over the last few years, you know, all these ones, and we're going to give that some credence. It's you know, it's unfortunately, truth is a hard thing to find in our existence that we're living in now. We've got an oversaturation. We've got a glut of stimuli, but so much of it is basically disinformation and people being misinformed, perpetuating that. So I just go with kind of like, when I look at something like this Iran thing, I try to remember histories. You know, people were bringing up Operation Ajax, okay, where Mohammed Mossadegh got overthrown. You know, the big oil barons overthrew this guy, wanted to nationalize his own people's oil instead of getting it raped by the big BPs of the world and so forth. You know, and then you think about these operations that were done to that the Mossad and Israeli intelligence types were doing to Mossad and its precursors were doing to Jews to scare them, bombing places in Iraq where a bunch of Jews lived to make them come home to the Middle East. Well, not necessarily home, but to Palestine. I mean, when you look at the sophistication where these people are, and I think a lot of this stuff was going on in France with some of these anti-Jewish attacks in France and Netanyahu's. It's the only place that's going to be safe for you. So this is a systemic thing here. If you look at these people, if they're willing to be that ruthless to their own quote unquote lesser brethren right out of the Protocol 3, what are they going to do to the rest of the people? These are their own people that they consider their brethren, but they're just on a lesser brethren scale. So they'll run false flags on them to scare them into moving back to Israel, so they'll have more people to join the army. They'll have more people to do, you know, odd jobs until they get on their feet and be construction workers and the rest of it or whatever. And so what are they going to do to the rest of the humanity if they're willing to do that to their own? That's the ruthlessness principle that people really need to watch. Is the same thing with World War II, where, you know, these Zionists were like, hey, a healthy cow is more important to us in Palestine than a bunch of old Jews. So that's Jews saying that stuff. I mean, that's gangster level stuff. So, but anyway, I'm going to move on. Let's see here. And I got a few minutes left before the break. Kim Jong-un, his half brother, CIA snitch, is the world. New York Times is claiming. So they're almost giving Kim Jong-un a kind of a free pass now for whacking his half brother, because hell, if he was a CIA snitch, then for Kim Jong-un to go ahead and have him terminated, that's just protocol, right? I just saw that and I was just like, wow. So now, after this dude was murdered by North Korea's sitting head of state, the toilet paper of record, the New York Times, is going to come out and say, oh yeah, by the way, he was a CIA asset. Interesting. Roger Stone comes out of hiding and he did some radio interviews. And so his trial will be starting. This is interesting. You know, Stone was this guy. He clicks up with Alex Jones. Trump goes on Alex Jones' show one time before the election. And, you know, Roger Stone was doing the war room with Owen Schroyer. And so then he gets charged. He's one of these guys, Manafort, Stone, and basically Mike Flynn. These three are the three prominent guys that get charged in this Mueller dragnet. And Roger Stone is lying to Congress as his charge. And then these guys like Mark Zuckerberg and whatever his name is from Google, the Indian guy. I forgot his name. And then Jack Dorsey. They can all get up there and just straight up lie to Congress. And, you know, they look at all the people that lie to Congress when they go up there and testify. All the big banksters, Jamie Dimon. I mean, it's joke level. All right, we'll see you guys on the other side.
I'll be waiting for the new dawn begun. I'll be waiting for the new world to come. All you fears.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.